He's a man who we always enjoy coming on, a cheeky chappy who works for Goal.com and knows about all things European football and especially about the Italians and Serie A. Joining us here today, Mr. Carlo Garganessi from Goal.com. Carlo, mate, it's a pleasure to have you back on board. How are you doing, my man?
Yeah, a bit of a hangover from yesterday. It was a long, long day. And yeah, I just about managed to stay awake during the Ballon d'Or ceremony.
Was it coffee, Red Bull, pep pills, something even stronger from over the counter? I mean, what do you use to try and just to get you through the filler that is those FIFA ceremonies and draws and presentations and all these things that get put on by the governing bodies of football?
I think all of that put together, I think a cocktail. Cocktail of everything.
They do love just throwing in kind of useless little video montages. I mean, it's not like showing us a montage of each individual who's up for the Ballon d'Or is going to influence the voting in any way, shape or form. And it's not like we've forgotten how good they were over the last year either. I mean, as a journalist and as a football fan, do you want to just see it done as a, you know, half-hour job? Let's get these awards out, dished out, a few speeches and done and dusted, and we can all go home a little bit happier rather than the presentation and the pageantry around it.
And I think it's good to make a little bit of an event of it. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, yesterday it did go on a little bit too long. And kind of what annoys me is when they reward their own people. And Pele is the best example of that. I mean, obviously, absolutely legendary player. But everybody knows that Pele is an establishment man. He's a FIFA man. And it just seems a bit fake when they're kind of rewarding their own person. And when they showed the little video montage of his career, I just found that a little bit too much, really.
Do you think Maradona will ever be given one by FIFA, because he's the stereotypical anti-FIFA man in terms of what he represents and has represented in football?
Absolutely zero chance of that happening. I think even if they tried to give him an award, he wouldn't accept it. I mean, I think you remember it happened in 2000 when FIFA did a Player of the Century award, and they opened up the vote to the public, and Maradona won the vote. And obviously, because Maradona is so anti-establishment, anti-FIFA, FIFA weren't going to accept that. So they ended up creating a second award. one that was from so-called journalists, but it was just basically FIFA giving it to their man, Pele. And then the other award was the People's Award, which Maradona obviously won. And Maradona refused to turn up, or he turned up, collected his award and walked straight off stage. I can't remember exactly which one it was, but he made it pretty clear that the whole thing was a farce. So not much chance of that happening again.
It's always entertainment in some way, shape or form with these kind of ceremonies that FIFA put on. Carlo, I mean, first and foremost, let's stay on this topic before we move into Serie A and the Allegri dismissal and the problems that continue to hamper AC Milan. And let's stay on this. The World 11, first and foremost, we're going to get into this a lot in the show later on, but what are people like Sergio Ramos and Dani Alves still doing in this World 11 when there are better players to fill these roles? I mean, you look at for instance someone like Sebastian Schweinsteiger should surely be in that midfield. There are plenty of controversies with this starting 11.
For me, it's just an absolute farce, the whole thing. I think it's absolutely got zero credibility whatsoever. And what's really disheartening about it is that, I mean, it's voted for by professional players. And I think it was 45,000 professional players voted for it last year. I think the number went up to over 60,000 this year. And it kind of makes you lose, you know, faith in democracy, really, because it's just, I mean, did they watch any football last year? Did they watch any football? I mean, Dani Alves and Xavi, I mean, they shouldn't even be in the top 30 to 40 players, you know, in their position, let alone the being voted into a best 11. And Sergio Ramos the same. And it's just laughable, really.
Do you wish that there was more input, say, from the fans and the journalists as well, rather than it just being the players voting for what seems to be? And when we look over the kind of the Ballon d'Or voting as well later on in the show, I mean, it all looks very tactical, like pick your mates style.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would like to see who voted for who with the FIFA Pro. Just out of interest, really, just to see who the players were voting. But I mean, we see from the Ballon d'Or voting that a lot of coaches and captains of the national teams are voting for for their own club teammates or their national teammates. I mean, Buffon voted for Pirlo, and Pirlo was nowhere close to being the best player in the world in 2013. And then you see that across the board. I think it is pretty clear that players are voting based on reputation and for their mates, really. And it's the only way that you can describe some of the players who made that 11. No other way really describing it.
I mean, the original Ballon d'Or was seen as such a credible trophy to be given when it was kind of first introduced, and now, as you say, it's become almost farcical. Is it time that we looked for another kind of new status of, or I don't want to say created a new trophy or anything like that, because as soon as you create something new, it always seems very artificial. But should we be looking at some other kind of status symbol to show who are the best players in the world in some way, shape, or form?
I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't want to come out and say that the Ballon d'Or has lost all credibility. I mean, I myself wrote a feature yesterday where I said that the Ballon d'Or, the second Ballon d'Or victory for Ronaldo has made him an all-time great. And when I wrote that, I didn't mean necessarily because of him winning the second Ballon d'Or. I think that it almost gave me an excuse to put that piece out. But I think his achievements over the last few years, away from him winning this individual title, means that he will go down in history as an all-time great. I just think that we've got to the point now where I don't know how important these individual trophies really are. I don't know. I don't know if there really is a perfect way of going about it. I mean, Arsene Wenger hates these individual prizes. He's come out and campaigned against them for many years. And when you see that Ronaldo versus Messi, I mean, football is a team sport at the end of the day, and I think that maybe, you know, we do need to have to look at how these prizes are awarded. I think.
I suppose if everybody was voting for a team of the year, it would hands down be Bayern Munich. And are you a little surprised that there weren't more winners from German football in general, when everybody's saying that it has been the best league in the world, or Dortmund and Bayern have been the dominant forces in Europe, at least for the last kind of 2 years or so, and is the model that everybody should be looking at? Are you surprised that it's still the Spanish sides in general that are kind of dominating the European scene when it comes to these sorts of things?
Oh, absolutely. There's a massive bias still towards the Clásico teams of Madrid and Barcelona. And, you know, Champions League semi-final, Bayern absolutely hammered Barcelona 7-0 over two legs. Yet it comes to the FIFA Pro World 11 and Barcelona somehow got four players where Bayern had only got three, even though they won the treble when they won, six trophies over the course of 2013. Mm. And you can understand to an extent with an individual prize like the Ballon d'Or, when someone like Ronaldo's winning, even though he didn't win anything in 2013, you can kind of understand, because it's for individual performances more than team performances. But when you've got a World 11, to then have the best team by a distance in 2013, only having three players less than Barcelona, I mean, just, you know, it's farcical.
Let's move away from the frustrations of the evening yesterday and get into the frustrations, if you will, of Italian football. AC Milan on the weekend suffering an almost humiliating loss to Sassuolo, thanks to four goals from their young 19-year-old striker Berardi. I don't think any of us saw this coming, Carlo, but is it the right thing to do to have got rid of Allegri after this disappointing result? He was already going at the end of the season anyway.
Tricky one. I think if their plan was to appoint Clarence Seedorf at the end of the season anyway, which it looks like it was, then pushing it forward, you know, maybe it was the right decision. It might give them a little bit of an injection ahead of the Champions League second round game against Atletico Madrid, which, as it stands, it's not going to be pretty. If Milan are playing as they are now in February, then they could get hurt in that game. So this might give them a bit of an injection, a bit of a push, and you know, they can hopefully improve their form before that game. I mean, it's been inevitable for a long time, really, that Allegri was going to go. I mean, he'd already confirmed that he was leaving at the end of the season. I think last time I spoke to you on the show, I do have some sympathy for him. I do think that whoever is coaching Milan with this set of players, the resources that they're having to work with, would struggle. But at the same time, I think Allegri should have been doing better than he has been doing over the last kind of 18 months. And ultimately, that's the reason why he's been fired.
It's going to be tough for Seedorf because he's going to go into a club where everybody, much like still reveres him and loves him, in the same way that Kaká returning could have been very difficult had he not got off to a good start as he has done so far back in his second spell at the Rossoneri. But coming back as a manager, loved as a player, idolised by many at the club, he's got a real chance of tarnishing his reputation with a poor side that isn't playing well and taking the reins of that side in a disappointing season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's jumping into the deep end, isn't he? It's a gamble. I mean, it's always a gamble when you hire a coach who doesn't have any coaching experience and, you know, who's young. Seedorf is 37 and he's still playing in Brazil. So, you know, it's definitely a gamble. But, you know, he's a very intelligent man, Seedorf. He's got charisma. He speaks like half a dozen languages fluently. Mm. And, you know, so he will bring, he's got good ideas as well. Our understanding is that he's going to be implementing a kind of an Ajax kind of training system at Milan, whereby he'll have individual coaches who will be focused on specific areas. He'll have departmental coaches, so a goalkeeping coach, defending coach, midfield coach, attacking coach, but plus all other individual coaches such as an athletics coach, a psychological coach, which is how they do it at Ajax, and it's been obviously very successful because they've had one of the best training regimes and youth systems in the history of the game. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. He definitely is an intelligent man and does have ideas, but at the same time, you know, if you haven't got the players to work with, it doesn't matter kind of what you do off the pitch.
I'm sure that defending coach is going to have his work cut out at the moment with Milan and that leaky back four that they've got, and Domenico Berardi making easy work really with his four strikes on the weekend. How much had you noticed Berardi this season down at Sassuolo? Obviously easy to kind of overlook sometimes the sides in the bottom of Serie A, Carlo, but he's been scoring goals this year. He's got 11 so far now in 13 appearances. This 19-year-old, how much is he kind of being spoken about as a youngster in Italy?
He has been spoken about since last season, even when he was in Serie B. I personally haven't seen enough of him for me to make a real bold prediction of just how good I think he can become. Mm. I'm going a little bit secondhand on him. I have seen him play. I've seen some games, but I wouldn't like to make a bold prediction yet. He's clearly a natural talent. You can tell that straight away in a player. He's got a beautiful left foot, beautiful balance, and the way that he cuts in. And you can see he's got those instincts as well in the penalty box. The second goal against Milan being a perfect example, the way that he spun, shot into the bottom corner. So he's a natural. We're just going to have to see how he develops, really. I wouldn't want to put too much pressure on him. I think he was aided on Sunday by the fact that Milan's defending was absolutely horrific. Daniele Bonero, who's been, you know, touted by some, including Franco Baresi, for an Italy recall. I mean, if Italy play him during the World Cup, then they've got no chance. So I think he was aided by that.
Yeah, he did have a lot of help on the weekend. In general, Carlo, do you think Milan have got any chance of pulling off a turnaround at all from this horrific start to the season? What would now be a successful finish for them sat in 11th?
Europa League. I think that's the only thing that they can hope for. There's absolutely zero possibility of them getting a Champions League place. Yeah. And, I mean, how many points are they behind Juventus now? I think it's 30, isn't it? I mean, the best turnaround they can hope for is that they get into the Europa League. They possibly, you know, they can try. And they've got a couple of Italian match in midweek against Spezia, so they win that game. They could potentially challenge for the Coppa Italia if they take it seriously. As for the Champions League, even though I said at the time of the draw that I wouldn't completely write them off against Atletico Madrid, and I still wouldn't. You know, there's still time for them to get their form around, and they've got enough big name players in their team. But right now, you know, it looks like they're going to be exiting the Champions League pretty soon as well. So I think what the best they can do, Europa League and plan for next season.
I suppose every snowball in hell does have a small chance of getting somewhere. Carlo, just finally, a couple of other quick stories. And obviously there was the big one last week for US soccer fans about Michael Bradley returning to North America, going to Toronto. Roma put out a tweet saying thank you very much to Michael Bradley, even though he's not been there a year and a half now at Roma, but has been a solid performer for them. How much has Bradley made an impact on Italian football, do you think, as a reputation as being an American going across into Italy, and do you think Roma will miss him for this second half of the season?
I think he's had an excellent Serie A career. He was fantastic at Chievo. He got his big move to Roma last season at Roma. Did very well in the centre of midfield. You always knew what you were going to get from Bradley. You know, non-stop running, a fierce tackler, great stamina, great fitness. He's a very, very good player at the age of 26 to be moving back to the MLS. It is a very, very big surprise because he has the ability, there's no doubt about it, to be playing at the very least for Europa League side, a Europa League standard side in any of the major leagues, England, Italy, Spain, Germany. He could play for top six side easily in those countries and in some cases a Champions League standard team as well. He was just a little bit unlucky really this year that Roma have got such an excellent centre midfield that he became that fourth centre midfielder who couldn't get into the first team. So he was a little bit unlucky really this season. I'm just very surprised that he's moved back to the MLS. I'd like to think it's for family reasons, but you know I have my doubts whether he's done it for the money. I hope not, but it's a shame. I mean, as for whether Roma are going to miss him, I think that they've signed Radja Nainggolan as a direct replacement, and Nainggolan is a superior player to Bradley, and he has the potential to become a really, really top class player in my opinion. I've been a big fan of him for a long, long time. A colleague of mine actually scouted him years ago when he was at Piacenza and said, "Watch out for this guy." So I've had my eye on him for a good 5-6 years, and I think he's a great, great player. And he was absolutely, I watched Roma play at the weekend. He was absolutely brilliant in centre midfield. So I think Roma have actually got four top centre midfielders. I don't see Roma missing Bradley.
It's going to be tough for Bradley had he stuck around to get into that Roma side, but now back in Toronto. And just finally, Carlo, Fiorentina, that 0-0 draw against Torino. Fiorentina have gone off the boil slightly. So much talk at the beginning of the year about their fantastic attacking squad going forward. Be as brief as you want, because I know we're taking up far too much of your time here, but that Fiorentina side, it has just gone off the boil slightly in terms of its intensity, and obviously not being helped by Rossi's recent injury as well.
Yeah, I think Fiorentina have been a little bit unlucky. I think at the turn of the year, they were the one team that could have broken into that top three of Juventus, Roma and Napoli, which kind of looked nailed on. Now, though, having lost Rossi to a long-term injury, he's definitely going to be out for 2 to 3 months. If he needs an operation, that'll be his season and World Cup over, which is really tragic. Then it's going to be hard now for Fiorentina. They've lost their best player, Mario Gomez. He's been out for months and his comeback keeps getting put further and further back, and no one really knows when he's going to be back. So they've lost all that firepower in attack. Still some fantastic quality in midfield, Cuadrado and Borja Valera, but they lack that goal scorer right now. And even though, I mean, it looks as though Alessandro Matri is going to be coming in from Milan this month. He scored one goal all season, so I wouldn't bank on him turning it around either. So it's a shame, but I think it looks like Fiorentina might just fall away now from that top three.
At least it takes him off the Rossoneri's hands for a bit, though. Somebody as useless to not deal with at the San Siro, at least for Seedorf coming
That's
in.
It.
Carlo, mate, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, man. We thoroughly enjoy getting you on and talking all things European football and in particular Italian football with you, mate. And we look forward to catching up with you very soon indeed. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, pleasure, Ollie. 16, mate.
Cheers, Carlo. Carlo Garganessi there from Goal.com joining us here on World Football Daily, talking about all things Italian football and giving us the rundown on Allegri, whether it's the right decision to make or not. I mean, some people will say that it's not smart to do it now, but I think you have to admit that that Allegri wasn't getting the job done all season anyway, and if he's going, you might as well go right off this season. Give Seedorf a chance to come in, start to kind of lay the foundations early on now, and then see what happens. And we will see what happens for AC Milan as the season continues for them.